Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios, Caroline Fenton is here today. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how we doing?
Fantastic. Outstanding. I feel weird. We're in different locations today. I felt like I was spying on you.
I know, I did have to turn my camera off because I was beep bopping around the station here. I thought about bringing you with me, taking you on a full tour of the station.
I really felt like I was spying on you. It was really interesting. Ian's here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
So I have a group question I want to start the show on today. Should we concern ourselves with the high-end quarterbacks who might be available this year? Question mark.
It is worth the discussion, and it is worth looking into, but it seems as if one certain high-end quarterback that we thought could have been on the market may no longer be on the market or may be looking elsewhere.
Okay.
In Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. So you're using the Nathaniel Hackett news out of Denver today, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when we talk about the high-end quarterbacks that are out there, there's 3.5 because there's Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. Russell Wilson,
yes,
Tom Brady, and Brady is, I don't know, because he may retire, but there's some speculation, which we'll get to in a second. And then there's Derek Carr, and they don't even have a coach or a general manager, so I have no idea how the Raiders feel about Carr. And honestly, is Carr a high-end quarterback? Is he that much better than Tannehill? I don't know. So I am at the point now. TD's going to be with us in an hour. He wrote at ESPN.com, the Titans have reached their ceiling with Ryan Tannehill. And I agree. And that's why Saturday night, I told you all on Monday, time for a divorce. And I woke up this morning and I saw the news that the Denver Broncos, who very much are, we can agree, the Broncos are very much are monitoring the high-end quarterback market. They went out and hired Green Bay's offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett as their head coach. Now, Hackett was the OC in Jacksonville when they had Blake Bortles under Doug Marrone. And even though I actually thought Hackett did a pretty good job, I think it's pretty obvious that they're not hiring Hackett because of what he did in Jacksonville. They're hiring Hackett. He didn't call the plays in Green Bay. They're hiring Hackett because they're going to make a run at Aaron Rodgers. But Adam Schefter, Caroline, told us this morning, Schefty says they did not hire Hackett to go get Rodgers. Here's what he said.
Packers offensive coordinator instead will be going to Denver to be introduced as the next head coach of the Denver Broncos. And so we just look at where he's come from and what it is. The Broncos didn't hire Nathaniel Hackett because they want to use that as a chip to trade for Aaron Rodgers. They hired Nathaniel Hackett because they believe in him as a coach, because they thought he was the right guy for their organization. The fact that he knows Aaron Rodgers and has a relation, that's a cherry on top. Don't get me wrong. But that's not why they hired Nathaniel Hackett.
You buy that?
Okay. Yeah, sure. It's not.
I mean, come on.
Sure, it's not.
Like, come on. What are his other qualifications? So.
Great guy. Elite toughness.
I just wonder this. Should we look into it? Or are we wasting time looking into it? With the three guys. Rodgers, we'll get to Brady in a second, and Wilson. All three would be legitimate upgrades over Tannehill, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's a big deal. Because somebody asked me today, they were like, is Russell Wilson really that big of an upgrade over Ryan Tannehill?
What?
And I'm like, did you see the game on Saturday? Like,
what?
Like, did you see the game Saturday?
If Russell Wilson's your quarterback on Sunday, you win that game.
I mean, if Russell Wilson's your quarterback, you're probably the Super Bowl favorite right now, even with Kansas City coming to Nissan Stadium.
Probably so. Russell Wilson and that defense?
Russell Wilson. And when was Russell Wilson at his best? When he had Marshawn Lynch with him in Seattle? That's when they won a bunch. So, I mean, I think we should be allowed to do this. I have a feeling, though. Like, the morning show, I listen to them. They are like, they're kind of talking about it. But I don't think they're, like, really willing to let anybody believe that it's a possibility that the Titans could upgrade a quarterback.
I believe that anything right now is a possibility. Like, until there is pen to paper, I believe that anything can be on the table.
Ian, do you think we should be monitoring the high-end quarterback market right now?
I don't see why it would hurt.
I just asked this question. What do you think John Robinson's doing?
I mean, you would think they would try to explore all options, at least see, you know?
Sure. So, like, they watch the same game we watched.
Talk it through, at least.
They all watch the same game we watch, and they have more skin in it than we do. And I was thinking about it. I was talking to Sean Reese, Floyd's son, and I said, you know, how long would it take after a loss like that before Floyd was like right on into the draft? And he was like, the second the game is over, Floyd's into the draft and free agency. That he's all in. And I would agree that Robinson's probably the same way. I just can't believe that everybody around the country can have the same opinion about the game. And then the Titans brass not have a similar opinion about the game. Now, they had a similar opinion, I guess, when they lost to the Colts in 2018 about Blaine Gabbert. Like, okay, we can't have this as our backup quarterback. And then they went out there and they went and got Ryan Tannehill, but it took until the beginning of March before they were able to make that happen. So even if they make a Russell Wilson trade, like, it will take time in order to do it. A Rodgers trade, it will take time to do it. But I think we should look at it. I think we should look at it because I've determined you can't win the Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. You can't luck into it. You can't, like the Vrabel line, the be great around him. And I thought about this today when I was listening to Derek Mason go off on the midday show about that Vrabel line, about being great around Tannehill. And it was crazy because I heard that and I thought to myself, because Derek was like, he said it out loud, people, and I was like, oh, wow, that really is, when the coach says, hey, we have to be great around him, that really is kind of a backhanded compliment, right?
It sounds like, okay, you know, he can deliver what we need him to do as long as everything is perfectly in place around him. Because there are a lot of quarterbacks out there that don't need everything to be perfect around them to be great.
Joe Burrow has no offensive line.
Yep.
Like, I mean, but what's crazy is I was thinking about that, and I was like, aren't the Titans already kind of great around him? They have a number one wide receiver that's better than most number one wide receivers on other teams across the league. They have the best running back in the NFL. They probably have the best backup running back in the NFL. And I'm not talking about in the future. I'm talking about the team they had right now. They have a solid offensive line. Not a great offensive line. Not a terrible offensive line. Solid offensive line. They've got a great defense with maybe the best defensive line and pass rush in the NFL. They've got an all-pro safety. They got great middle linebackers in Cunningham and Long. Like, aren't they already great around him? They got one of the best punters. Aren't they already great around him?
I mean, you look at the defensive performance on Saturday. That's a great defense. You look at A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, and you mentioned Deontay Foreman. Those are great offensive pieces.
The offensive line's fine?
The offensive line is fine. It's fine. I mean, it's a good team. It's a solid team.
When you pay the quarterback $38 million against the cap next year, there's no way to be great around him. So it's like, yeah, you know, we need to be great around him, but you can't do it.
It's almost like they have to play a perfect game, you know, for it to break. And it's just unrealistic to expect the entire team to play perfect for so many games in a row.
Sure. When your quarterback isn't playing close to perfect.
Yeah.
No, the entire team played fine. I heard today, and we'll get into it, but Jim Wyatt, and I love Jim Wyatt with all my heart. He's a great reporter. He's the greatest Titans reporter in the history of Titans reporting. But I heard Jim Wyatt today basically say that, you know, hey, it's not just Tannehill's fault. Here's a couple of examples of mistakes the team made that if they didn't make. And D-Mace goes, Jim, I love you, but, and I definitely got a good kick out of that. I mean, I think we should look at it. And it sounds like it's a unanimous decision around here that we think the Titans should look at the high-end quarterback market.
It's worth looking into, yes.
Ian?
I mean, yeah, I would say so. It's worth looking into.
Okay, and we think there's three. Are we going to include Watson? Because he would be four.
Yeah, throw him in
there. I mean, is he a realistic landing spot here, given the division?
Well, I was watching basketball last night, and I saw at the bottom of the screen, it said, Giants owner says Giants will not pursue Watson. And then underneath that, it said, owner cites lack of cap space, sexual assault claims. I was like, well, you know, those two things certainly will make it difficult.
Those are two doozies.
Those are, you know, and which one's more important to the Giants? I don't know.
I don't think they want you to know which one is more important to the Giants.
I don't know. So let's include Watson. I agree with Ian. Like, there's just too much bullcrap with Watson. You know, and of all the guys out there, other than Rodgers, I think I would take Watson. Like, just pure football alone. He's got talent. He creates on his own. Vrabel kind of coached him as defensive coordinator of the Texans. Like, I think I would want Watson the most.
But
over...
with Watson, you're not getting just football.
No. I said take the bull crap out, but there's...
You can't.
There's too much bull crap there. But that would be the number one guy. Well, number two behind Rodgers, because I think Rodgers is unbelievable. And I can't even stand Rodgers. But I think Rodgers is unbelievable. But so let's include him too. Rodgers, Wilson, Brady, and Watson. Put them all on the table. 615-737-1025. This show wants to move on from Tannehill. This show wants to talk about Rodgers, Wilson, Brady, Watson. And there is one that I actually think, much to the chagrin of Robbie and Joe, there is one that I do think might actually be possible. I'll explain that next. Stillman and Company, right here, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Like, we're talking multiple first-round picks to acquire any of these players, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. Start with three first-round picks, okay? So if you're talking Rodgers, you're talking Wilson, you're starting with three first-round picks. If you want to go down the Deshaun Watson route, you're starting with three first-round picks immediately and additional assets. That's how pricey that market would be, even if you can get the Seattle Seahawks to go, yeah, you know what, we're willing to part ways with Russell Wilson at this point. On the other side of Russell Wilson, there's going to be a contract extension, probably not for a year, but you're looking at another massive contract extension. There's potential for Deshaun Watson for another contract extension, Aaron Rodgers, automatic contract extension. So you're talking about three first-round assets, additional assets, and then very likely within 12 months of any of those players, but you're talking about a $40 million a year contract extension for a number of those players. So that's the kind of commitment for the primaries.
There you go. That was Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports NFL insider on Robbie and Rex Road the other day. So three first-round picks is the starting price for Russell Wilson, according to Charles Robinson, right?
That's what he says.
Okay. But I was thinking about this today, because everybody says, well, what would the Seahawks want? And everybody's talking about the Seahawks ramping up, you know, hey, there'd be a big market there, because all these teams, Detroit and Philadelphia, and all these teams would try to get in, not just you and Denver and whomever else needs a quarterback, Washington, whatever. But then I remembered one thing. Russell Wilson has a no-trade clause, and nobody's talking about that. That's how you depress the market. Russell's got a no-trade clause. So basically what the Titans have to do is they essentially have to tamper, and they have to get Russell to want to come to the Titans. Now, I don't know how they're going to go about that, but I was reading this article, and I want you guys to hear this article before you just shoot it down, because Caroline, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like it would be fair to say that Robbie and Rex Road, listening to them, it is very much a somebody texts in and Robbie goes, texter to the text line says, what about Russell Wilson? And Joe just goes, I mean, no. Fair?
Joe is not very open to the idea of exploring new quarterbacks.
Okay. Brady Henderson, who I think is the TD of the Seahawks, writes this yesterday at ESPN.com. Whenever the Seattle Seahawks hire a new defensive coordinator, the next item on their offseason to-do list should be the big one. Determine whether Russell Wilson will remain their quarterback in 2022. Wilson's future hardly seems certain, even with a few factors working against a trade. Among them, it's a bad draft for quarterbacks, which would make the already monumental task of replacing Wilson even harder. And while Wilson has indicated his preferences to stay, his comments have come with an unspoken qualifier that it must happen under the right circumstances, which is why, this guy writes, Wilson has stopped short of declaring he'll remain in Seattle, even though it could be guaranteed via his no-trade clause. So Pete Carroll was asked about it. He said, quote, I don't know. I don't want to give you false hopes because there is just so much stuff that can happen in the offseason. There's unpredictable stuff, but we'll do everything we can to keep it in order and all that. So there you go. But here's the interesting part. He has like a couple different segments in this article. Free agents. Brady Henderson writes, you can bet Russell Wilson wants to know what the Seahawks offensive line plan is, as three starters, left tackle Dwayne Brown, right tackle Brandon Shell, and center Ethan Posich, are scheduled to be free agents. So apparently they're good there. Running back Rashad Penny is perhaps the most intriguing free agent, given a late-season explosion in which he led the NFL in rushings over the last five games. So the running back's a free agent. The other UFAs on offense, tight ends Gerald Everett and Will Dissly, running back Alex Collins, offensive lineman Jamarco Jones, and quarterback Geno Smith. So I think all those guys are backups except for the two tight ends. So their tight ends are free agents. Three of their five offensive linemen are free agents. Russell didn't even like the line to begin with. And the running back is a free agent. Then it says this at the bottom. How much cap space will the Seahawks have? The Seahawks figure to be in the top 10 of available 2022 cap space with around $40 million. But as always, that figure is a moving target. Trading Wilson would free up as much as $24 million for the upcoming season, leaving them with a massive hole at the most important position. So, they have cap space, which is important, because they could take on a Tannehill contract. Draft capital. Here's the other important thing that he writes. If the Seahawks' worst season in more than a decade wasn't painful enough, they won't enjoy the biggest silver lining to a down year, picking early in the first round. The second of two first-round picks they gave the New York Jets in the Jamal Adams trade will be number 10 overall in April's draft. The Seahawks' draft capital would obviously change dramatically if they trade Wilson. Okay, so they have the salary cap space to take on a Tannehill trade. Russell doesn't want to be there, which we can agree on for the most part, right?
I think that's fair to say.
Okay. Russell doesn't want to be there. Russell's got a no-trade clause and can dictate where he goes, which would suppress the trade market. And they've got the cap space to exchange the quarterback contracts. And they need the draft picks. Like, they don't have draft picks. Mm-hmm. They need them. Isn't this setting up to almost be exactly like the Goff trade for Stafford? If you get Russell Wilson to want to be here. And I think about all the teams in the league. Tennessee has no state income tax, which is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Nashville is a nice enough city. It is respected enough. I mean, I don't know what Sierra's interests are, but it's not like the Chargers and the Rams are looking for a quarterback.
Well, this is Music City.
Sure.
Sierra is a musician.
Albeit not that kind of music, but maybe.
But that's fine.
But like, Russell has to look at that game Saturday because he watched it. He tweeted about it. Russell Wilson has to watch that game Saturday and think, God, if Tannehill just doesn't suck that game up, I mean, they win. Look at that defensive line. Look at A.J. Brown. And I get the best running back in the league. Like, I think Russell would want to come here. And again, they can take on Tannehill's. They can take on Tannehill's contract. Like, am I talking crazy here, Caroline?
I don't think this is crazy. No. I think the no-trade clause is an interesting wrench thrown in all of this, though. The fact that Russell has so much control over where he goes, which could be a good or bad thing for the Titans, and I don't necessarily know which one it would be. It just depends on where he wants to go.
The question is, does Russell want to go here? The four teams last year for Russell, remember, they gave a list. Chicago, not interested in Russell right now, and they don't even have a first-round pick this year. Because they used it to get Fields. The Saints, $70 million over the cap. No, we don't even know who their coach is.
No head coach.
Dallas, they've got Dak.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget who the fourth team was. Like, maybe the Raiders? I
think that's right.
Okay, maybe the Raiders. Now, the Raiders, that could be that. But they don't have a coach or a GM. And I just think if you're Russell Wilson and you watch the Titans on Saturday, they got the coach of the year. They got a great defensive line. They got the best running back in football that ran you out of your own stadium last year. They got a number one receiver. A solid offensive line, though. They will have to fix that, and they will have to explain to Russell how they plan to fix it. I don't think it's crazy. And I'm crazy. Like, I get it. I understand that, you know, it hasn't kept me up at night, but it has been the only thing that I've thought about revolving around the Titans in the last 5 days is the quarterback position. And all I hear from everybody is, well, Tannehill, too much money. No way you can do that. And I'm like, but if you trade them and they take the salary of the guaranteed, I think it's like 24, 29 million. I can't remember what the guaranteed salary is. But if they take the salary, just like the McVay Goff deal, if they do that and Russell wants to come here, it's probably two first round picks for him. Because Seattle, Russell, if Russell holds out, what's Seattle going to do? They're going to play Geno Smith at quarterback?
And that's another question. Is Ryan Tannehill an interesting get for the Seattle Seahawks? Would they want Tannehill? Is that a salary that they're willing to bring on?
Don't you think Tannehill, though, the player at quarterback, is better than almost anything else that Seattle can do outside of drafting a quarterback?
And even then, right away, Tannehill would probably still be the better option.
Yes.
Right.
Better than their backup.
This is another interesting quote from Pete Carroll. He said, quote, "Let me say this. We are going to compete at every turn. That's all we know how to do. That's all John Schneider, the GM, and I have been doing since we got here, and we're not backing off that. Whatever is there, we've got to exhaust the opportunities for our club." And right from the owner, Jody wants us to take a look at every single opportunity to better the franchise and to help us. So that's what we do. I'm telling you, I think the Russell Wilson to the Titans, I don't think it's crazy. Kick it around the room. Is it crazy, Caroline?
No, I don't think it's crazy.
Ian?
I don't think it's crazy. I mean, I think this could be a pretty decent place for a quarterback to want to come to, you know, if they're not happy with their situation.
The Titans have got to tamper with Russell Wilson. That's what's got to happen. And what's crazy, because the team loves Tannehill, right? Like, oh, Taylor Lewan, and oh, there are...
They say they love Tannehill.
They need, like, Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown to, behind the scenes, recruit Russell Wilson. Like, that's what they need Russell. If they get Russell on board, Russell's the quarterback of the Titans. Let's get your reaction to it. 615-737-1025. Rogers is in the mix. There's a Brady element to this as well. 615-737-1025. TD at 3 o'clock. Caroline wants to tell you about Caesar Sportsbook.
All right, people, it is time for the Caroline Fenton Caesar Sportsbook Report. Pains me to say this, but there are only 3 football games left in the season, not counting the Pro Bowl, and 2 of those 3 games go down this championship Sunday. So suffice to say, these are must-watch, must-wager matchups. Now, before the games get underway, download Caesar Sportsbook, and they will match your first bet with a free bet up to $1,001. All you have to do is just use promo code RADIO, RF, one word, Radio RF, and they will match your first bet with a free bet up to $1,001. Now, we talked about the over in the Bengals-Chiefs game, the AFC Championship game yesterday, and that's shifted up to 54.5. But that over-under for the 49ers-Rams game is staying put right at 46. I personally would take the under in that game because I don't see the 49ers scoring too many points against the Rams. But hey, that's my advice. Do what you want to do and do it with the Caesars Sportsbook app. Must be 21. Offer valid in Tennessee only. New users and first qualifying wager only. Paid in bet credit. Credit must be used within 7 days of receipt. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Caesars Sportsbook. Download it, people.
Here's what I have to say about anybody who's like questioning Tannehill. Is years past, even this year, him having the confidence to throw it into situations and it's worked out before and you guys all said he was the greatest. Like, just because it didn't work out doesn't mean he's any different, dude. He's a stud. And with the boys ride or die with Tanny, he has literally revived the Tennessee Titans along with the new defense.
He's a awesome dude too. I just hated it for him how all that went down, and I just know he probably puts a lot of that. I mean, like every competitor does, you just put a lot of like blame on yourself, and he knows that everybody knows that it's not one single player, one single game, or one single play. But you just know dudes, like, they wake up and think about that. Like, I would have done this, I would have done that. Like, if I would have made this tackle, or if I would have made this play during the game, like, it would have went a different direction.
There you go. Taylor Lewan and Will Compton bussing with the boys. They stand up for Tannehill. Taylor Lewan, hey, he made the Titans relevant. By the way, what if somebody asked Taylor Lewan, hey, Taylor, the Titans are going to get Russell Wilson. Then how would Taylor feel?
Oh, you know, we welcome him with open arms. We're really excited about bringing Russell in here. We're ready to go win a Super Bowl with him.
Do you think all these guys, the guys that have been vocally supportive of Ryan Tannehill, Lewan, A.J. Brown, Henry, that if they found out, like if Adam Schefter tweets out, you know, this just filed to ESPN, the Tennessee Titans are trading Ryan Tannehill, Kevin Byard, and a first round pick in 2023 and a first round pick in 2024 to the, or 22 and 23 to the Seattle Seahawks for Russell Wilson. Do you think that, and maybe you don't even need to include Byard, but let's just say that, and Wilson's agreed to waive his no trade clause. Do you think Henry and those guys would be like, ah, oh, darn, we thought Tannehill was our guy? Or do you think they'd be like, yes, yes?
I think they'd be excited. I mean, I'm sure there's a certain personal relationship element there that they'll be a little bummed on the inside. But I think overall, they'll be like, okay, we're pumped for the future. We're pumped to bring a bona fide, you know, a bona fide quarterback and a bona fide competitor into this team. I think they'd be pumped about it.
So just to reset this, again, Russell has a no trade clause. So he determines where he goes just as much as the Seahawks do. Two, the Seahawks have tons of cap space and a bunch of free agents, and Russell's not probably going to want to go back on that offense. Three, they have no draft picks, so they need draft picks. Four, Tannehill is probably better than any quarterback that they could get to replace Russell if they have to trade Russell. Did I leave anything out?
I think that's fair. And they also have the cap space, if you didn't mention that.
Yes.
Yeah, the cap
and
space
that means that it is possible.
Yes.
Now, Keyshawn Johnson, yesterday morning on ESPN, we did not get to this yesterday, but Keyshawn Johnson was asked which team, or I guess just decided to tell Kimberly Martin, which team he thinks is the best fit for Aaron Rodgers. Here's what Keyshawn said.
Tennessee Titans. Huh. Think about it. You got two awesome running backs. You got a receiver that's in his, you know, getting ready to hit his prime. You have another receiver that's still solid. You got another smaller receiver that's good. You got a decent tight end, a front seven that's stout. And you got a player-friendly head coach that understands how to win championships because he's done it. Mm-hmm. The offensive line is solid. I can give you Ryan Tannehill and whatever picks you need. You want 22, 23, 24. And you can have Ryan Tannehill. He becomes your Alex Smith. And I can have Aaron Rodgers in return. I can now convince Aaron Rodgers that he is the top all-time quarterback in the history of the Tennessee Titans, or even the Houston Oilers for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that one? In a bad division.
I'm just saying, I just think that the Titan fans that have heard from people like Joe Rexroad that are saying, no way, no how can the Titans upgrade at quarterback, I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance. Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Unless you got a thought, Caroline.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that would be another attractive thing for Russell Wilson is leaving the NFC East. I mean, the AFC South is a much...
You mean the West.
I'm sorry, West. Yes, the AFC South is a much easier division where it stands right now. I mean, I'm sure Trevor Lawrence and the Jags will develop, but I mean, the NFC West is a tough quarterback division. So that's another attractive element for Russell Wilson there. But let's go to the phones.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And plus, like, I know Pete Carroll not really well, but I know him well enough. I think he'd like Tannehill.
Close personal friend, Pete?
I mean, look, you know, no. But I would say that I would say if you ask Pete Carroll, do you like Jared Stillman, he'd say yes. That's all I got for you.
There you go.
John is going to kick us off. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Go ahead, John.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call, as always. Been listening to the show, a long time listener. Been wanting to call in since Monday, have not done so. I'm still scarred. I wanted to call in about we as fans and even some of the players have to take emotion out of these decisions. Yes, we love Tannehill. Yes, he is one of the toughest quarterbacks in the league. I guarantee you the next guy that comes in here and can win you Saturday's game, we're going to love him just as much. According to Jared's proposition, what we have to mortgage, first-round picks, we can't be emotionally tied to these picks either. There's no guarantee that the picks are going to pan out. We just have to hope that the current picks we've made and selected materialize and pay dividends. Caleb Farley can't miss another season. Isaiah Wilson, of course, we don't even have to talk about. All these other guys that John Robinson has brought in have to materialize. If it mortgages the future, if it costs you that, to win a Super Bowl. You don't hear Tampa Bay complaining. You didn't hear Kansas City complaining. It's worth the move to do it. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, John. I believe that there's no way you could watch that game on Saturday and not think that the Titans have no chance of getting to the Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback. Now, I know some people blame Derrick Henry or whatever the text line was doing yesterday.
Todd Downing.
You know what's crazy? I have heard so many people complain about the offensive coordinator. You realize the guy that just got hired in Denver was Blake Bortles' offensive coordinator and was also Aaron Rodgers' offensive coordinator? Like, think about that. Everybody hated Blake Bortles. He was Blake Bortles' offensive coordinator. He's Aaron Rodgers' coordinator. Now he's the head coach of the Denver Broncos. Amazing how that works, right?
Won an AFC championship with the Jags.
Got to an AFC championship game.
Got to an AFC championship game, yes.
Right, and the reason, because they had a great defense. Bortles was awful. I mean, look, I'll take Russell Wilson. You fire the coordinator and run it back with Tannehill. I'll take Russell Wilson. Plus, the Titans are not firing the coordinator. For everybody out there that wants to think, like, are they going to fire the coordinator? What are they going to do? They're not firing the coordinator, folks.
I just don't understand how Mike Vrabel can stand up there and just, you know, give his stamp of approval for Todd Downing so vehemently when he saw what happened on Saturday. How can you not be at least open and willing to a change? How can you endorse him so much after a loss like that? And not even leave open an opportunity or the possibility for an opportunity for a new offensive coordinator.
Well, did you see all the coaches that got fired?
I did.
So you had Jim Haslett, defensive linebacker coach.
Mm-hmm.
You had the assistant defensive line coach,
mm-hmm.
Which is crazy because I thought the defensive line, whatever. So they fired the assistant defensive line coach, the assistant special teams coach, and the assistant strength coach. So we can complain and cry about the offensive coaching all we want. Vrabel didn't fire one offensive coach. Think about that. He didn't fire one offensive coach. So Vrabel's clearly telling you that the offensive coaching is not the problem with this team. Now, I'm not telling you that that's the case, but I'm telling you that's what Vrabel's saying, which makes me even think more that he thinks Tannehill's the problem. We're back to your phone, 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So we already got to the possibility for Russell. Then we got to Rodgers. Now Brady, because there's a thought on that next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. Again, we are going over the big quarterback markets. You know, the big Aaron Rodgers. Denver just hired a head coach to try to lure Aaron Rodgers. And even though Adam Schefter says that's not the case, that is, in fact, the case. Russell Wilson, Seattle, looks like it could line up well for the Titans. What about Brady? Remember, Brady, all the stuff came out this week about Brady hinting at retirement. He said on his podcast, you know, I got to think about my family. I have to put my family first. So I was listening to Boston Sports Radio, 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. You know, I love that show, Felger and Maz. And they brought up the idea that Brady could be looking to get himself out of Tampa Bay. Here's what they said.
I sent you guys a clip, too, from the end of December when he was still here from Bleacher Report. Powerful answer from Tom Brady on the sacrifices older players make. Oh, kids, family, life things you can't get back. It's like he's following a script. It's the same thing from the end of 2019 when he was sick of being here.
And I'll tell you, too, the whole wife thing, I'm starting to think she says to him, use me as an excuse. Keep making the money. I mean, she's a business person.
Right.
So I wonder, if God use me as the excuse. You know, get out of Tampa, find yourself a better location with a better team and more money so you can win.
Now, that's what I want, though, the one-year mercenary. Go to San Fran next year, maybe Miami, maybe Tennessee. Oh, yes. Tell me whose gear I buy next. That's what I want.
Is it crazy, Caroline?
No, I don't think it's crazy. And, you know, we were talking about Brady potentially retiring because that's what it sounded like. But they do make a very good point in that we thought Brady was going to retire 2 years ago. And then he ended up in Tampa Bay. So I don't think it's crazy, especially considering Brady and the Titans were flirting when he first left New England. I don't think it's crazy to think about. And especially if money is a motivating factor.
Well,
being
we don't
in a state
know what,
with no income tax.
We don't know what the flirt level was with the Titans. It doesn't seem like they reciprocated. But times are different. And on top of it, I saw a graphic on ESPN this morning on GetUp, and it had all the free agents that the Bucs have this year. they're not running that thing back. Like, this was a two-year thing, and they didn't win it this year. They're not running it back. There's no way they can run it back. Let's get to your phones before TD at 3 o'clock, 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. What do we have, Caroline?
Max in West Nashville texts in and says, do we really want someone with the attitude of Aaron Rodgers on our team? I think it's better for someone with a better attitude, even if they aren't as good. I disagree.
No, I disagree. I mean, I'm at the point right now with the Titans where everybody short of Antonio Brown is on the list. Like that if it I feel good about the Titans' defensive line. I think they're going to have to figure out linebacker for a couple different reasons. I think they'll probably just need to add bodies in the secondary. Nobody very good, just, you know, the Buster Screens of the world, because if you got a good pass rush, it doesn't matter what you have in the back end. I mean, they got enough good guys on the team. Like, they got enough good guys on the team. Rodgers is a total diva. I get it. But guess what? You're not going to win with Ryan Tannehill.
But I also,
so there's your answer.
I also do wonder how that chemistry would work with Mike Vrabel. A diva quarterback with Mike Vrabel, a guy who claims to be so team first, a guy who claims to be so, you know, no front runner mentality. I wonder if Aaron Rodgers and Mike Vrabel would butt heads.
I think Mike Vrabel's won championships before. I am starting to convince myself that Vrabel, like his thing about Tannehill, the excellent leadership or whatever, elite toughness. That was just like saying nice things about Tannehill. If he's not going to fire a single coach off the coaching staff, the offensive coaching staff, he's telling you it's not coaching. So last year when he didn't fire Shane Bowen, he was telling us that it wasn't coaching, it was the players. And then they went out and got DeNico Autry and Bud Dupree, and we realized, yeah, it was the players. I think there may be something here. And again, I don't care about the Rodgers. Like, Rodgers is a diva. I don't like Rodgers. I mean, I'm friends with the other two brothers, so that tells you how I feel about Aaron Rodgers. But I still know you can't win with Ryan Tannehill, and I think you can't win with Aaron Rodgers. What's next?
Another texter texts into the text line. It says, Russell Wilson is the same quarterback as he was the last couple of games. He has shown his age, and the Titans are stuck with Ryan Tannehill for at least another year.
Okay, are we buying the idea that Russell Wilson is washed up?
I am not buying that, but I am. One area of concern is the injuries. I mean, he missed a few games this past year with a finger injury. He's only getting older.
I wouldn't necessarily say washed up.
Wouldn't say washed
up. But I do think that he could be a little bit diminished.
Age concerns are definitely there, but not washed up and maybe slightly past his prime.
Is Russell going to the Hall of Fame?
That's a good question. Right now, I would say probably not.
Okay. So, I think Russell's right there on the fringe, right? Like, yeah. Eli's going to get in, and Eli has two Super Bowls, and Russell has one, but I think Russell's a much better player than Eli ever was. I think Russell's right on the fringe of the Hall of Fame. I would agree that it's definitely a risk with Russell at his age and the finger injury and everything else.
Tannehill's a risk too. Aaron Rodgers would be a risk.
I know what the answer is with Tannehill.
That's the thing.
Like, I know what it is with Tannehill. I look at this like when the Broncos went out and got Peyton Manning. They had a team that got to the divisional round of the playoffs. They were 8-8 with Tim Tebow at quarterback, and they beat the Steelers in overtime. And, like, everybody wanted them to commit to Tebow. I even looked it up this morning. Everybody wanted them to commit to Tebow when they were winning all these games. And Demaryius Thomas was like, hey, we're 7-1 with him as a starter. He should be our quarterback. And Elway and Fox would just not commit to Tebow, no matter what. Then they went out and got Peyton Manning. But it was no sure thing with Peyton, because Peyton had the neck surgeries, and he was older and everything else. And so it was absolutely no sure thing with Manning. And he turned Denver into a Super Bowl contender for 4 years. And I would take that. If you told me Denver's been, you know, average to below average for the last 6 years, if you told me I got 4 good years, 2 Super Bowls, 1 championship with Russell Wilson, and then it all falls off the table, I would take it. And I'm not saying he's Peyton, and I'm not saying he's going to be Peyton, but I'm saying you have to take the risk that they took with Peyton to improve at the position. What's next?
I mean, any change that you make is going to be a risk. But
sure.
Our good friend Indy Benton texts in and says, why would an elite-level quarterback want to come to a team that is run heavy with a questionable offensive coordinator? By the way, Jonathan Taylor is the best running back in the league going forward.
So, I mean, maybe. I don't know. Like, Taylor had a good year. Taylor had a good 1,700-yard year.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Derrick Henry had 2,000 yards in one less game last year. We'll see. Maybe Taylor's the best runner.
Jonathan Taylor's a great running back. Absolutely.
I'm not throwing Taylor under the bus here.
Yeah.
I do believe that having a team that runs the football, whether it's Foreman or Henry, and I think it obviously will be Henry, but I think that would probably be something Russell Wilson would want. At his age, think about how much Russell's gotten hit over the years. But when were Russell's teams at their best? When he had Marshawn Lynch. So you don't think Russell, who's had a revolving door of running backs, whether it's Robert Turbin or Alex Collins or Rashad Penny or all these other guys they've had, you don't think Russell Wilson would want to play with Derrick Henry? I think Russell Wilson would want to play with Derrick Henry.
I don't know of many football players that wouldn't want to play with Derrick Henry.
Like, I don't think it is local homerish to say that I think another player would look at the Titans, like another quarterback would look at the Titans and think, I'd like to play there.
I mean, it's a good defense. It's a good coach. It's a good running back. You got a good receiver.
Right.
I mean, it's an attractive team. No state income tax. It's an attractive team.
You were the number one seed in the AFC. You were the number one team in the AFC with poopy pants at quarterback. So then you go out there and you get what we're saying, a fringe Hall of Famer in Russell Wilson. I mean, I got to tell, like, I think if you're Russell, the pitch, if A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, those are the two guys that have to pitch Russell. Julio Jones would have to be a part of this too, even though this may be the best thing Julio Jones does for the Titans. But if they were to pitch Russell on coming to the Titans, and Russell wanted to do it and told Seattle, I want to go to Tennessee, and I'm only accepting a trade to Tennessee, and the Titans were to do two first-rounders in exchange for Russell and Tannehill, I think everybody would eventually say yes.
It's not a bad
thing. But the key is getting Russell to want to come here. I'm with you guys about how I'm there with you guys about how, you know, I think it's probably like the Brady thing's probably a little crazy. The Rodgers thing is probably not likely to happen. But Russell, I think it's, if you can get Russell, he's got a no trade clause. So he gets to pick where he goes. You got to get Russell on your side. Just like how Deshaun Watson wanted to go to Miami. Carolina was willing to move the heaven and earth to get Deshaun Watson. He didn't want to go to Carolina. So they didn't even have that discussion. So if they can get Russell on board with the Titans, and Vrabel can't do it because that's tampering, but Derrick Henry and AJ and Julio, if those guys could get Russell to want to come to the Titans, they have the cap space to take on the Tannehill deal. They need the draft picks, which you would give up to get Russell, and then they would need a quarterback so they could use Tannehill. I like that idea. TD will join us next. We'll get his thoughts on the fallout of the week of the Titans. What did he make of what they said on Monday? What has he made of all of this? Tannehill's performance. TD had a great article at ESPN saying that the Titans may have reached their ceiling with Ryan Tannehill. We'll get TD's thoughts on that. That's next, the TD Power Hour. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.